This evening, we invite your attention to the book of Hebrews. Book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews, chapter 11. We're going to start in verse 1, and we're going to read on down through verse 7. Now, this isn't going to be anything mind-blowing, I'm certain, but the one thing that I hope that we'll get from this tonight is we'll be encouraged. Because I believe one of the things that is very discouraging in the day in which we live is that sometimes it's hard for us to see. Now, I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about with the eyes of faith. And I think sometimes we get so caught up in circumstances, we get so caught up in what's going on around us that we just kind of think to ourselves, what's going on here? And my hope and prayer is tonight that as we look at these verses, that we will see what faith will cause us to do. Three things that faith will cause you to do when rightly applied. Number one, when you live by faith, you're going to worship right. Number two, whenever you live by faith, you're going to walk right. You're going to walk with God. And thirdly, when you live by faith, you're going to work. And let me say this, I'm sure some of you are thinking, man, I've heard that outline by so-and-so, that's fine. But you know what? We should take these things and apply them to our hearts and lives, because if we don't, we're missing a real blessing. But before we get into the Word of God, let's go ahead and pray. Our Father, we come before you tonight and we thank you for your love and your mercy. And God, I pray that you just speak to us. I pray, Lord, that you would speak through your word. I pray, Lord, that it wouldn't be anything through the flesh. But God, I pray that by your Spirit, you would just speak to us. God, if there be one here tonight that's discouraged, I pray that you would just encourage that one. Lord, if there be one here tonight that's walking a guilty distance from you and warming themselves by the enemy fire, God, I pray that you would just work on them and bring them back into right fellowship. And God, I pray that if there be one here tonight that's lost, God, I pray that you bring them to repentance and faith in your Son. God, thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for travel mercies today. And we'll give you the honor and glory for it all. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Now, if we notice here, starting in verse 1 in chapter 11, the Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now, as we notice here in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, we find in verse 1, now faith. Now, that's the first thing I want you to notice here, faith. What does it mean to have faith? Well, we need to understand what faith is. Faith, very simply translated, is trust. And whenever we're talking about trust, in particular, you think about this, in theological circles, we're talking about trust in God. Trust in Jesus Christ in particular, that He died on the cross for our sins, that He was buried and rose again the third day for the justification of our sins. Certainly we understand that. But you know, there's a lot of things that every day we don't really understand, but we have faith in. A lot of times people put their faith in other people. And you know, I've got friends that I love. I've got people in my family that I love dearly. But as I had someone tell me many years ago, whenever I was disappointed in how someone treated me or done me, they said, "Brother Troy, the best of people are still people at best." The fact of the matter is, you put your faith in a person, eventually they're going to let you down. You know, I love my mom and dad to death, but there was times in my life I felt like they let me down. It's just what it is. You know, I got friends. They've done the same thing, but there is one that has never let me down. And that's Jesus Christ. Now, I can also say this. We put faith in a lot of other things too. You go out in your vehicle in the morning, you put the key in, you trust that it's going to start. You go across the bridge from over the, I believe, the Missouri River between here and St. Louis. You have faith or trust that it is going to get you from one side to the other. But you know what? In Chesapeake, Ohio, it didn't. Folks, those kind of things happen. But I make you this promise today. There is one that will never let you down. You may say, "Well, Brother Troy, God has disappointed me before." Now, I want you to understand what I'm saying here. If you are putting your faith and trust in God and also realizing that as you pray or desire something, that you're praying that, "God, if this is your will, then Lord, I trust you'll get..." That's one thing. But if you have this idea that God is obligated to answer your prayers and give you what you want, then I'm going to tell you, you will be disappointed. Because God has never said that you would get whatever you wanted. But He will give you what you need according to His will. I can remember when I was in college, I had big dreams. I was going to be a state trooper, and I was going to coach football over in the mountains of eastern Kentucky and wrestle under a mask. I'm saying that for your benefit, Brother Philip, for everyone to see. I was going to live the dreams. But you know what? God had other plans. And you know, I can remember every time those plans would fall through. I remember being in class and sitting there listening, and the best I'd ever done in college, and listening to the teacher say, "You know, I wanted to be a state trooper, but I couldn't be because I was colorblind." Well, that was a kick in the gut for me, because I'm colorblind. And I remember raising my hand, and it was during all this time God was dealing with me about preaching. And I said, "Now, Mr. Sexton, you mean that you're black, white, colorblind?" I said, "No, sir." I said, "I'm blue, green. That's what I am." And it just devastated me. God allowed me to coach some older kids one time, and I hated it because of the crazy parents. Man, I'm telling you, everything I wanted to do, I'm just being honest, folks, and now I'm one of the crazy parents. But anyway, man, I'm going out there and I'm thinking to myself, "Lord, what are you doing? This is what I want for my life." And God let me get just a taste of what I wanted. And then He was going to show me, "Hey, it's so much better not to have what you want, but what I want for you, because it's better." And you know what, folks? Really and truly, the book of Hebrews, the theme is this. Everyone else had the blood of bulls and goats, but even that wasn't sufficient. I have someone or something better. And that's Christ. And folks, what we find here is this. If you will live a life by faith, and listen folks, right now I'm talking to saved people. If you will live a life by faith, then I promise you, you will have a better life than you ever imagined. Now, I want you to notice also. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. Now there is something written here, and I'm going to read it, and I hope it'll help you. Faith is described in this verse as the substance, or the assurance or reality of things hoped for, and the evidence or the proof of things not seen. Basically, it is this. Faith gives reality and proof of things unseen, treating them as if they are already objects of sight rather than objects of hope. In other words, just because you can't see it with your eyes, you can see it with the eyes of faith. You can see it with the heart. Man, you know what? I don't have to see Jesus Christ literally on the cross, because with the eyes of faith that God gave me, I can look back and see that He died on the cross for my sins, that He did die there, and He was buried and rose again the third day for my sins. That's faith. With faith, I don't have to literally see Him, which I believe I will one day, if I'm alive when it happens, and I surely believe so, that when He comes back, I already see it in my mind. I already see it with faith. I know that it's going to happen. Why? Because God has promised me that He's coming back. You see, folks, faith is reality that we're looking forward to in the future. Or in the case of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, while we look back to Him in faith and what's already happened but we didn't see. Now, notice also, through faith we understand that verse 2, for by it, by what faith, the elders obtained a good report. Literally talking about the men of old, the men of the Old Testament. The Old Testament patriarchs and heroes, they obtained a good report. They received divine approval, if you will, or they had a good testimony of their life. Now, I want you to understand and notice some things mentioned here, and some of these names mentioned. We're not going to look at all these, but these three basics we're talking about here in a minute. But we find that Abraham's mentioned in a minute. Now, did it say that by it these men were perfect and never did anything wrong? No. Because we know that Abraham, one of the things did that we overlook sometimes is he brought Lot with him when he told to leave the family behind. You know, we also know that at other times that Abraham, what was it? He lied about who his wife is. Those are just two I can think of off the top of my head. But he still had a good report. Why? Because he believed God. He trusted God. He followed Him. What about David? Now, we know that David was a man of great faith. We know that he went out there and fought Goliath and won. But did he not commit adultery with Bathsheba? Oh, absolutely. Did he not have a man that was a valiant killed as a result of that sin? Sure he did. But you know what? God still says that he was a man after his own heart. Right here is a man given as a man with a good testimony. See, folks, God is not looking for a perfect man. God is not looking for a perfect woman. What He is looking for is people that are going to follow Him and live by faith. Because I can assure you, if He was looking for perfect men, He would have never called me. He would have never saved me. Verse 3. Now the Bible says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now, verse 3, and it's funny that he mentions this first. Why is that? I believe Ken Ham is onto something with Answers in Genesis. He believes that to understand the Bible, and the very foundation of believing and understanding the Bible, is that you've got to have a literal interpretation of the creation. Why is that? Now, am I saying that if a person is messed up on that they can't be saved? I'm not saying that at all. Because there are some people that just been deceived in that. But this is the thing. If you can sit here and say, well, you know, creation is not literal. It is something that took millions of years, or the days there are not literal 24-hour days, even though in the Hebrew it is literal 24-hour days. You know, it's not necessary. It could mean millions of years or thousands of years. But this is the problem. If that is so, and if you don't take that literal, then why in the world would you have to take literal that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried and rose again, came back to life? If you don't take that literal in the beginning, then why in the world would you believe that Jesus spoke Lazarus back to life? You see, it is a slippery slope. And folks, if we take it as symbolism in the beginning, then why not just take the whole thing as symbolism? See, folks, we can't. Because this is the cornerstone or the building block of God's Word. That God has said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You think about how foolish it is to think about something coming from nothing. You know, if I sit here and someone said, Brother Troy, you know, they go out there and look at my car. Where'd you get that car, Brother Troy? I don't know, it just showed up one day. Really? Oh yeah, it just showed up. You know, I had a piece of scrap metal over here, piece of scrap metal over here, had a steering wheel in my garage, and then all of a sudden, a big windstorm comes up, and there it is! Now, isn't that just, forgive me, stupid? It is! And young people, I want you to understand, you're going to have people telling you, well, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard that God created. Well, you know what? I'd look out and say, well, it's no dumber than believing that something come from nothing. You see, God has always been. God created. God made. And so that's all I need to understand. It is faith. It is trust. It says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Remember, over there in John chapter 1? Talks about, let's go over there. Let's look over there very quickly. Might even take me a minute to find it, but we'll eventually get there. And kids, don't go around calling people stupid. I just taught you bad habits. Don't go around saying someone's stupid. Call them less than intelligent, but don't call them stupid. Anyway, the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Now, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Notice verse 3. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Now, look at verse 3. All things were made by Him. Who? Verse 2 says the same was in the beginning with God. Who is that talking about? That all things were made by Him. Go back to verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God and the Word was God. That is talking about Jesus Christ. Jesus created the heavens and the earth. See, folks, I don't have to have a degree to understand that, because I have faith in Christ. It was granted to me, it was given to me, and by the faith that God gave me to be saved, that same faith has worked in my heart to believe that God created. Now, notice, back in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Now, verse 4. Now there's been kind of a groundwork laid. Now we come to worship, walk, and work. Now notice, by faith, Abel. Now how does this come into worship? And listen, I'm not going to have you to turn over there for time's sake, but we're familiar with the story over there in Genesis, I believe it is in chapter 4. Over there where it begins, where God, where the young man came of age at the same time or around the same time. There's a little bit of a debate about that, but anyway, they come to offer their sacrifice. One came with the works of the cursed ground, and that was Cain. He was a keeper of the land. He was a farmer. So here he comes with his great offerings. And yet, while it was good, as far as man was concerned, it was great because it was the best he had. But the problem was, God said he needed a sacrifice of blood. He needed an animal. He didn't have an animal. So what he did, said, well, I don't have that, so instead, I'm going to bring the fruit of the cursed earth. I'm going to bring the works of my hand. And so he came and he brought it before God, and God rejected that offering. That is the same way it is with man whenever he tries to offer his own cursed works as good enough before God himself. And God says, unclean, I cannot take that. Your righteousness are as filthy rags. So here comes Abel. Abel comes along and he has the best of his flock. And he brings it before God and he sacrifices, and God accepts the sacrifice and he is pleased with it. Of course, what happened is Cain was jealous and he killed Abel. And that's a whole different story from there. But the difference is this. Cain brought it. God didn't accept it. Abel brought what God required, and it was accepted. Why? Because it was an act of faith. Not about what he had done, but putting his dependence upon doing what God had said. And folks, it is the same way when it comes to our salvation. You see, just as, and I certainly believe the picture is true, I believe, I'm throwing in my opinion here, I believe he brought a lamb. I believe that. He brought the lamb. It was accepted. Jesus Christ, being the lamb slain before the foundation of the world, came, offered himself, and anyone that has put his faith and trust in that lamb is saved by the grace of God. You see, what that means is that it is an act of faith in true worship. When you worship God, you do it according to what God says to do. Now, notice secondly. Notice in verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now I want you to notice verse 5. Now, verse 5 you can find in the book of Genesis, chapter 5, verses 22 and 24. Talking about Enoch. Now it says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. What does translated mean? That's where it talks about literally being transformed, being changed. Now, go with me, please, to the book of Genesis and chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5, verses 22 through 24. And Enoch walked with God. After he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God. Now notice here, folks, whenever the Bible mentions something once, you ought to always pay attention. But when it mentions it twice, take notice. Not only did he mention that Enoch walked with God once, but he mentioned it two times. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. You know, a lot has been said about this being a picture of the rapture, and I certainly can understand that, and I certainly agree with it. But you know what? If that's all we're concentrating on, we're missing it. What's going on here is this. Enoch walked with God. Notice in verse 5, if you're going to walk with God, because it says here in verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. Why was he translated? Because he walked with God. Why did he walk with God? Because I believe he had a relationship with him and worshipped him. See, this is the thing. If you want to be found pleasing to God, then you've got to worship God in faith. You've got to trust him. Then you can walk with him. Notice verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. See, if you don't live a life of faith, if you don't trust him by faith, you cannot please him whatsoever. You can't even be saved. Much less try to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, I want you to notice verse 7. We've seen you worship by faith. We've seen you walk by faith. Now, thirdly, you work by faith. You see, you can't work for God if you're not walking with him. And you can't walk with him if you're not worshiping him and not having trusted him according to how he said it's to be done. Look with me, please, right here in verse 7. Now, for your own reading and time, read in the book of Genesis in chapter 6. But it says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. Noah says, by faith Noah. What did he do? Being warned of God of things not seen as yet. You know what's amazing here, and I really didn't realize this, I guess, until really just a matter of a few years ago. Maybe right before I was called to preach, maybe right after. But I never put two and two together that it had never rained at this time. So here they are out in the middle of nowhere, and I'm not exactly sure how many miles it is from water, but I know it's not like they're at a seaport. And all of a sudden, you got this man out here with his sons, and they're building this big boat. And people are looking at him, and you know, I'm surmising a little bit here. I know how human nature is, just thinking to themselves, what in the world are they doing? Has that man lost it? Man, he's nuts! Going over to his son and saying, man, your dad has lost it, guys. You all really need to talk to him. No, listen. Listen, Dad believes God has told him to do this. And you know what? We believe it's so, and we're going to follow our dad. Man, you guys, y'all drank the Kool-Aid too, as the old saying goes. Man, what in the world's wrong with you? Then all of a sudden, man, they work and they get it built. And I can imagine everyone's looking at him and saying, well, that's nice, but only if it was near water. Then all of a sudden, and again, forgive me for surmising a little bit here and just letting my mind run wild for a second, but then all of a sudden you see a bunch of animals coming. And then they're thinking, now wait a minute, maybe there's a little something to it, but nah, what in the world's going on here? And then they get the animals in there, then Noah and his family gets there, and then the door closes. Now, I don't know if it was instantaneous, a matter of days, a matter of minutes, whatever it was. But all of a sudden, the firmament broke. Man, that big ring of water around the earth, if you will, it breaks. And down comes the water, a deluge. Then the waters of the deep opens up, and it's flooding, and people are dying. And I can imagine that at that time, they're thinking to themselves, oh my, if we just listened. You know, I have a feeling, and I want you to understand something, folks. We understand sovereignty, God. Man, we know that God is rules and reigns over everything. But you know, you just can't help but wonder what's going through people's minds when they're on their deathbed or they've passed over into eternity without Christ. And what pops in their mind and how the times they've been warned or perhaps the times they've driven by that little church many times on Main Street or out there in the middle of nowhere in Kentucky. And they think to themselves, oh my, if I'd only listened. Oh my, if I'd only paid attention. Well, you know something, it's too late for that person. But I believe this, as much as I believe in the sovereignty of God, I also believe in the responsibility of man. And I believe every man, boy, and girl that dies in their sins will not be able to point their finger at God and say, you have made me thus. But they will give an account of their opportunities. They will give an account of the times that they heard the gospel and didn't heed the gospel warning. There will be perhaps even some here that one day could stand before God or kneel before God, actually, and not worship Him, not kneel before Him as Savior, but rather kneel before Him as judge and give an account of why they did not call upon His name. You see, folks, at that time, they'd been warned. At that time, they'd been told over and over again, and this is something that all of us need to be reminded of time and time again. God is merciful to all. I believe in a general call. I even believe that God has a type of love. And I think you'll understand what I'm saying when I explain this to everyone. It rains on the just and the unjust. God's good to everyone. And out of that alone, people should, in their heart, if it weren't for their depravity and their wickedness, they'd be able to see the goodness of God and call upon His name. But the fact of the matter is, there will be those that will reject and hear the gospel and reject it time and time again. And one day, they will kneel before God, not as Savior, but He is their judge. And you see, folks, Noah was able to work because he knew Jesus. He knew God as his Savior. Notice, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Notice here, folks, Noah, and you can read this in verses 13 through 22 and Genesis chapter 6. His fear was not of man, but his fear was a fear or piety of God. Knowing that He is sovereign, knowing that he must obey Him. As we close, the question I have for you tonight is this. Where is your faith? Is your faith in your works? If it is, your faith is a sorry faith. Is your faith in other men? Then your faith will get you nowhere. But is your faith in God? If so, you can count on Him and trust Him to lead you, guide you, and direct you in His ways and paths for the rest of your life. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for this day. Thank You for Your love and mercy, and God, we'll give You the honor for it all. And God, I pray that You speak to hearts, and God, be with Brother Doug as he continues on momentarily. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Brother Wayne.